What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I guess I'll start by asking Fred a question here just because I'm curious. Has there been any stretch of time today where Donald Trump has not been on television answering questions?
He has been on, like, this is maybe the third or fourth time talking with reporters.
I mean, I just walked into the studio. I was watching quite a bit of it earlier today, and I know that you were pulling some audio, and we have that. But I just walked into the studio. You know, we have this quick turnover. Hi, Sue. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
And I see, you know, it says the White House Live. And sometimes, you know, they're playing a clip, and it says live. But no, this is, in fact... live, right? Do we know what he's talking about? Should we find out what he's talking about?
It started out about Afghanistan withdrawal.
Well, he's taking questions now, which I always find interesting. So let's see what's going on here.
I'm sure Congress will go along. You know, that was the name when we won World War I, we won World War II, we won everything. And just to me seems like just a much more appropriate. The other is defense is too defensive. And we want to be defensive, but we want to be offensive, too, if we have to be. So it just sounded to me better, really like a better name. Yeah.
Mr. President, following up on your meeting with President Lee of South Korea, did you end up talking about trade and did you reach any conclusions?
Yeah, I think we have a deal done. They had some problems with it, but we stuck to our guns.
That's the other thing that happened today is he had the president of South Korea there. So he had a couple of different media events, and then he welcomed the president of South Korea. And then they took questions, right? Some of that was through a translator.
By far, but it's one of the biggest deals ever made. The biggest deal ever made is the one with the European nations, as you know. The Europe deal is the biggest deal ever made. I think it's the biggest deal ever made, period. And they pay us $950 billion.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll monitor this and see what happens. One thing that he did earlier, and I'm going to toss this out here. Sue, I don't know if you feel differently, or Fred, or the audience. This is one of those things that I've used as an example of something I'm uncomfortable with, of course, but I don't think it should be against the law. And our friend Will Scharf was in that Oval Office earlier this morning. They were signing some executive orders, and one of them had to do with flag burning.
Lastly, sir, this is an executive order on flag burning. It charges your attorney general.
Would you listen to this? This is very important. Flag burning. All over the country, they're burning flags. All over the world, they burn the American flag. And as you know, through a very sad court, I guess it was a 5-4 decision, they called it freedom of speech. But there's another reason, which is perhaps much more important. It's called death. Because what happens when you burn a flag is the area goes crazy. If you have hundreds of people, they go crazy. You could do other things. You can burn this piece of paper. You can, and it's, but when you burn the American flag, It incites riots at levels that we've never seen before. People go crazy. In a way, both ways. There are some that are going crazy for doing it. There are others that are angry about them doing it.
So I think there's a little bit of nuance here, and I'll play you the second. But look, I do think it is, sadly, a constitutional right to burn the flag. If you want to burn the flag, it's despicable. But I think the Constitution guarantees it. Now, if you listen to what he was saying there, and you'll hear Will Scharf kind of weigh in on this, it seems like there, I'd like to get Ilya on tomorrow or maybe Brad Young, because I think there is constitutional nuance, because it seems like he's saying, look, you do this and you incite a riot, then you're in trouble.
What the executive order does, sir, it charges your Department of Justice with investigating instances of flag burning, and then where there's evidence of criminal activity, that where prosecution wouldn't fall afoul of the First Amendment, and instructs the Department of Justice to prosecute those who are engaged in these instances of flag burning.
And what the penalty is going to be, if you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail, no early exits, no nothing. You get 1 year in jail. If you burn a flag, you get, and what it does is incite to riot. I hope they use that language, by the way, did they?
Yeah, incitement is.
Incite to riot. And you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail. You don't get 10 years, you don't get 1 month. You get 1 year in jail. And it goes on your record.
So doesn't it sound to you like if you go out tonight and you're on your, you know, your front porch, your sidewalk or something like that, and you just burn a flag, I'm not sure that's what he's talking about,
I
right?
I think it was incitement to riot.
Right, right. Which that makes a little bit more sense, but I would like to get some constitutional analysis of that tomorrow. Look, we got Scott Jennings coming up here in a couple of minutes. His show, his syndicated radio show, which started a few weeks ago, is going to start airing at 8 p.m. tonight on 97.1 FM Talk. We'll have a preview with Scott. We have Sarah Parshall Perry, who is with the group Defending Education, coming up later this hour. Phil Holloway will be here in the 4 o'clock hour. Of course, Cusimano, not the best stretch for the Cardinals, right, Fred? Is that when I kind of tuned out over the weekend.
Well,
you know really
we lost 6 out of 9 on the road trip.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah,
they're back tonight, though. The Pirates are at home. Yeah, it's and then STL City didn't fire a coach, but they fired, like, is it sort of the GM?
It's sort of like the GM.
Yeah, the sporting director, and they lost on a call, like a last-second penalty call on Saturday night. There's an interesting – Fred guided me into this. I thought this was interesting. Sam Horn, who's one of the potential quarterbacks for Mizzou, there is a quarterback competition going on with him and Pribula, who's the kid that transferred from Penn State. But was it the Washington Post that did the piece on Sam Horn?
Yeah.
Because he was also drafted by the Dodgers as a pitcher. So they have a whole feature on Sam Horn, which is kind of interesting. May touch base with Frank on that. John Ziegler will be here, the host of the podcast, The Death of Journalism from California. And then last week, late in the week on Thursday, I think we talked about this a little bit on Friday as well, you had a Chicago area high school near Schaumburg having a trans biological boy being allowed to play on a girls' volleyball team. His thoughts on Pritzker as well. And then you got Brandon Johnson in the news with Trump. I mean, he's always saying something ridiculously stupid. I spent a little time doing some little volleyball watching this weekend on my daughter's team. Right. You know, I said this last year. I don't know what age it becomes a thing, but now, you know, she's in fifth grade right now. And they're basically fifth and sixth graders, right? But as a parent, you go to these things, Sue, and you know that when you lose your serve and then the next team serves, you have to rotate around, right? Mm-hmm. This is the second season in a row. It's just the most unbelievable thing. It's like the basic thing that you have to do. If I was the coach, I'd be like screaming at the team before the game.
That is hilarious.
And I'd say, look, girls, here's our main goal. Our main goal is not to get the ball over the net. It's not to return the ball. It's not to touch the ball. The main goal is to, without everyone having to scream at you, and say, rotate!
Yeah.
Because it's just unbelievable. They never do. They throw the ball under the net to the other team, and the other team just stays right there, and they're like, oh, yeah. Because I'm at the point now, because I'm a year in with volleyball, you know, this is the second season, where I thought maybe it would get a little bit better. It does not, I will tell you. I don't know if it becomes in high school or something like that, where they finally decide, yeah, oh, that's right, we're going to move to the next spot.
Sometimes they make up a song, side out and rotate. Sometimes that'll get stuck in your head. Our team is really great, so if there's a side out and rotate, and you get it in your mind, and then you can do it.
Well, that's not a bad idea. The team that they were playing were actually singing a song, but it was something else. Look at you. You, like, remember all this. Yeah. Is this something you did when you were a kid, too?
It was
you
said a camp they taught us that.
Well, they should have. Yeah. That's like the that's the only thing they should be teaching these kids. Here's I'd go so far as to say, if you don't rotate, I'm giving the other team a point. If you don't rotate right away without us yelling at you to do that, it's just I don't want to be, the thing is I don't want to be that sports parent. I just want my daughter to have fun. But it's funny because she played soccer and volleyball, and here's what she's really good at. Just kind of standing in place, not doing anything. That's her athletic gift to the world.
Maybe she's she's trying to get a feel for it, Mark. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. But again, I'm not trying to be the parent that is yelling or anything like that or wanting her to get a Division I scholarship. I just want her to have fun and to try and all that. And sometimes I see a little lack of effort. Now, mind you, she's out of shape right now compared to some of these other kids as well.
It'll take her a little while.
Few years ago, Marie and I played on a co-ed volleyball team.
Love it.
And let me tell you, even with adults, we all would yell rotate.
Oh,
at the end of every
so
point.
Funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you know the song?
No matter what age.
Oh.
No, I never heard the song.
Maybe that'll help.
But you at least were doing it, right? You knew that was the next thing to do. It's like these kids are so wild. Every damn serve, they're like, wait, what? What do we do? Oh, yeah, the basic thing is rotate. We can't do that. Unbelievable. All right, we have, Monica Adams, media legend that she is here in St. Louis. She was at, I knew her when she was doing the fitness show at KMOX. And we used to do these things back in the day. Darn it, I'm going to forget who sponsored this. And John Marshall was the guy that was involved. Remember when we did the dragon boat races, Fred? Have you ever done that, Sue? You know what that is?
I do know what it is. Creve-Coeur Lake?
Yeah, we did it at Creve-Coeur Lake, and it's pretty interesting because you're on this like big canoe thing, but there's like 20 people on there, and it's a big deal in China, I guess, or somewhere over there. I'm sure it's a big deal in many places, but Monica, man, she was like a stud on our dragon boat team, and like we won the damn thing.
Wow.
And then she ditched out to another team, and then we never won it again. It was like the KMOX team completely fell apart. But I bring it up because she got in touch with me a couple of weeks ago about being a guest on her show, which is on streaming platforms, several streaming platforms, and she wants to talk about my return in the battle with anxiety. So I'm going to do that tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. I'm so happy, Sue, because the last time I ran into Monica, she was over by the Galleria at the Brentwood Plaza. And like the only thing in my mind when I'm thinking 7 o'clock, because when she invited me, she said 7 o'clock, I'm like, is that morning or evening? And it's morning. But she's like right over in the industrial park by Fenton. So literally.
Oh, it's not that far.
It's very, very close. So that's a big relief. But she's going to join us for a little preview coming up at 4:04. Scott Jennings, the legend, the myth, the man. His new show on 97.1 FM Talk tonight. 5 hours from right now, he'll be on. He's going to join us next.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
I'd say this is a pretty exciting day because I love my friend Scott Jennings, and I'm so happy he's got a syndicated radio show. And we're going to air it here, 8 p.m. every weeknight on 97.1 FM Talk. And Jennings, tonight is the night for the debut. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great. I'm very excited to be on the air in St. Louis, and even more excited to be your colleague. So I don't want any hazing in the jock locker room. I don't want any stunts. I don't want you to be pulling any rookie crap on me. Just
I would not do that. I would not do that. Yeah, you are on the team. But no, look, it's awesome. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The show's been on now for, what, about 5 weeks that you've been doing on Salem?
Yeah, about 7 weeks now. Yep.
Let's talk about it in a second here. I want to preview it, but I want to start with this because according to the text messages I was getting from you and Senator Schmidt, you both had way too much fun in Iowa over the weekend, didn't you? I have a picture of you on a tractor, which looks you look very comfortable on the tractor, Jennings, I must say.
I'm just saying, Iowa was good to both of us. We went out to Iowa, Cedar Rapids on Saturday, Schmidt and I did, and we spoke for Ashley Henson, who is the congresswoman for Iowa's 2nd District. She's in a bit of a targeted district out there. We had a big crowd, and we spoke in front of some bales of hay, and then this guy comes up to me, and he's like, you got to come out and see my tractor. And so I go outside. It's all painted up red, white, and blue. It was a vintage tractor, so I was more than happy to jump up there and hang out on the tractor for a bit. That was actually my third state. I was also in Michigan last week, and I also went to South Carolina, so made the rounds around the country last week.
So what happens in these circumstances? Are you just invited by the candidates and the camp, by the state party? How does that all work? Is there an organization to it all?
Well, yes, the candidates in this case invited me in all three cases. Ashley Henson invited both me and Eric Schmidt out there, and she was having a rally for herself. And then over in South Carolina, there was a congressman named Russell Fry, who's a great guy. And he invited me, and then up in Michigan, it was a congressman named Tom Barrett. So, you know, I like to go where I'm invited, and I was invited to all three places, and in all three places we had great crowds and had a lot of fun, too, and they had great barbecue out there in Iowa. So I'm actually going back to Iowa in a couple of weeks for another event, and then in September I'm headlining a big dinner called the Faith and Freedom Banquet. So I'm becoming an honorary Iowan over the next 6 weeks, yeah. I think.
Most people who do that are running for president. You know that, right?
I know. That's what people tell me. We'll see what happens.
You gave me the script of a pretty good line you had about Hunter Biden. Would you like to deliver that? Because it got great response. Would you like me to read it? I think it would be better if you deliver it this afternoon.
Well, I just told the crowd that after coming off of his stint as president of the United States last year, you know, a lot of people were wondering what he was going to do. But it's okay because he's been hired to do some marketing for a national restaurant chain, and I asked the crowd if anybody goes to the new Crack Barrel. They tell me how the food is, if they tell me how the food is, I love to hear it.
So that one killed, no doubt about it. Well, that's great that you're having fun on the road, but let's kind of get back to the radio show. We're going to air it tonight. 8 p.m. is your time slot here on 97.1 FM Talk. You do the show live at what time? Is it like noon?
I do it at 2 Eastern every day,
okay,
so it'll be
Eastern,
a few hours. It'll be a few hours old by the time you hear it in St. Louis. But what we try to do is a nice mixture of sort of news of the day, breaking news, news and comment, and then I usually have a pretty good interview every day. In fact, today's episode, which you'll hear tonight, is with Katie Miller. Katie has this new podcast called The Katie Miller Show. She's the wife of White House advisor Stephen Miller.
Oh,
now,
wow.
She's interesting. She worked in both Trump administrations. This spring, she was the Elon wrangler. So she was Elon's point person on the Doge effort while he was in the White House. I've known her for some time. She's a great person. She's just kind of been in the middle of everything. But anyway, she's got this new podcast out. So she's trying to do a thing where she talks to conservative women, and something we don't do a ton of in the Republican Party sometimes. So she's going to be out in the podcast space. So I brought her on to promote.
That would be a fascinating relationship. She has to have a lot of gravitas on her own to be in a marriage with Stephen Miller, the wordsmith that he is, because I would imagine get both those two going, it would be quite something, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. This whole thing today was great. Katie is the kind of person who absolutely, you're going to want to know. I mean, she knows everybody. She's been in the middle of everything. She's been very close advisor to the president, Elon. She worked at DHS in the first term, so she knows all these immigration issues. We actually talked about the Kilmer Obrego Garcia case today, so it's fascinating conversation. But that's what you're going to get every day, news, and then really a good conversation with a newsmaker.
All right, so let's talk about Obrego Garcia. You have this in the news. You had last week, I thought it was, and I know you had to talk about this on the CNN crew, you had everybody on board with this guy that was getting arrested and screaming out about he just wanted his family. He was documented. Then we found out, of course, that he was a child molester, so there was that. And you had some folks out there, including on Fox, who had to apologize for tweets. Jessica Tarlov got beat up quite a bit because they all ran with these images from D.C. with the guy screaming, think, oh, here we have our next Kilmer Obrego Garcia. And that didn't turn out so well for them.
No, look, they are I don't know why Democrats pick the worst heroes. They pick the worst martyrs. And Obrego Garcia, all year long, he has been a martyr and a hero for the left. He was in the country illegally 13 years. He had an adjudicated deportation order. There's strong evidence that he's in MS-13. He's facing federal charges for human trafficking in Tennessee. We know he had orders to stay away from his wife at one point, who said she was violently beaten by this guy. I mean, what else do you need to know that he should not be in the United States? What do Democrats do? They want to keep him here. They want this man on the street. He was released from jail on Friday. He was reacquired by ICE today. Now, ICE wants to, and the president wants to send him to Uganda because he doesn't want to go to El Salvador, which is weird because that's where he's from. And now a federal judge has at least temporarily blocked them from his deportation to Uganda. I suspect he will be deported again finally. But it's amazing to me that Democrats are dying on all these immigration hills. The guy was here for 13 years illegally. He doesn't speak a lick of English. He's in MS-13. What else do you need to know? And why would you, even if he, I mean, take everything else aside. He's violent. He's in MS-13. What redeeming quality does he have that you would want him to be an immigrant to this country? Absolutely none.
Well, they favor, it happens here in St. Louis on a regular basis, too. They do seem to love criminals and illegal migrants who are criminals as well. You know, I put this up as a juxtaposition a couple of weeks ago. We do this here in St. Louis. I think it might have been the weekend that the Cubs were here in St. Mm-hmm. Louis, but they had like 800 people who went through the process of becoming American citizens up at Wrigley Field. Everyone's cheering them on. We do it here at Busch Stadium once a year. These are people who are proud to be Americans. They want to do well for their families, and they want to learn the language and assimilate and all these things. And nobody's opposed to that on the Republican side. But the Democrats still have this big, big issue with drawing the distinction between the word legal and illegal. And they do it still all the time, even not learning the lessons from last year's election. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So Obrego Garcia is a perfect example of this. You know, the media and the Democrats keep referring to him as, quote, Maryland father. He is not from Maryland. I'm sorry. He's from El Salvador. He came to the country illegally, and he may have landed in Maryland, but he's not from Maryland. He's not an American citizen. And the narrative that the left and the Democrats and the media all colluded on was to make you think that Trump had sent an American citizen away. He's not an American citizen. He's an illegal alien. He's a violent person. He had an adjudicated deportation order. He got due process, and they are fighting so hard to keep him here. They never fight for American citizens this hard. They fight harder for this guy than anything else. And I don't know. I think they're on the wrong side of it politically.
Look at this goofball who's been back in the news this weekend.
Think of how easy it would be to be a damn Republican. Oh, what should I wear today? This stupid freaking red hat. What should I say today? I don't know. Just make sure it's cruel.
It's pretty easy for me to understand how you're getting invites to go around the country and represent candidates. It's baffling to me how that guy gets invites to do anything, Tim Walz. But God bless him.
The biggest buffoon in modern American political history. But he encapsulates perfectly the modern Democrat. It is like a perfect mixture of buffoonery and mean-spiritedness. He is humorless. He is stupid, and he perfectly represents his party's brand right now. And because of him and people like him, that is why Democrats have a max 33% approval rating. In some polls, it's as low as 19 or 20%. But the fact that Kamala Harris chose him to be vice president tells you all you need to know about their party, all you need to know about her decision making, and all you need to know about how leaderless this party is. That buffoon is the best they have right now. It's going to be Republican victories as far as the eye can see.
What did you think? You know, you brought up the differences in the parties and, you know, these 80-20 issues, but there was some pretty interesting reporting late last week by Shane Goldmacher and others at the New York Times about the Democrat Party facing this, you know, voter registration crisis. And if you dig into some of these states, including Pennsylvania, North Carolina, some of the states that certainly don't always go to Republicans, those numbers are pretty dramatic.
Yeah. I mean, when you pick as your pet issues or your pet constituencies, things like fighting really hard to put boys in girls' sports, to put boys in girls' locker rooms, to put boys in girls' bathrooms. When you fight harder for illegal aliens than you do for American citizens, when you adopt Hamas as just a misunderstood social group, you know, I mean, that's what the Democrats have done. They seem to be fighting for all of these bizarro world constituencies, and none of it has to do with the average old American who just wants to get up, go to work, pay their taxes, play by the rules, make their life better, make their kids' life better. None of what I just said has anything to do with that. They also have no leaders, and to the extent they do have leaders, it's people like Walz and Jasmine Crockett and AOC. These people are so out of touch with average Americans that, yes, people are fleeing the Democratic Party, and it's now obvious in the voter registration numbers all over the country. It's like a net swing of 5 million voters over the last 4 years. It's not a trickle. It's a huge stampede of people away from the Democrats and towards the Republicans, and it's pretty obvious to me why that is.
8 p.m. tonight, the very first Scott Jennings show on 97.1 FM Talk. He's been at it for weeks. We're picking up the show from 8 to 9 on weekdays. Jennings, have fun with it. Have a great week and a great Labor Day holiday. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, honored right. colleague. Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm so glad we're colleagues now. That's awesome. I know. It's amazing, isn't it? There he is, Scott Jennings.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments, Maurice's.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You know what a screw room is? A screw worm? That sounded different, didn't it?
That sounded different.
You know what that is?
No.
I'm going to tell you a little bit, I think, later this hour. There's been a screw worm outbreak. kind of like that weird thing, you know, at the Lake of the Ozarks where the amoeba ate the dude and he died, which is
good.
No, that's not good at all. No. This is kind of like one of those deals. Phil Holloway will join us after Sue's News. In the next hour, we'll talk about a bunch of different cases, including the Menendez brothers. After 5 o'clock tonight, we'll have John Ziegler, my friend from L.A., the co-host of the podcast, The Death of Journalism. One of the other issues we'll talk about in the 5 o'clock hour will be with John Anderson. John is running for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate. Dick Durbin's not going to run again, so he probably doesn't have a chance to win, but he's still a candidate. And he was at that meeting last week in suburban Chicago near Schaumburg, which is a suburb that I'm familiar with because my mom and dad used to live right there in Rolling Meadows, and I grew up not too far from there before I moved to St. Louis. They had a trans volleyball player who is very controversial because he is like 6'3" and towers over the girls, and how this keeps happening, I don't know.
It's
but
ridiculous.
Our next guest knows that it happens on a regular basis. Sarah Parshall Perry, who's the vice president and legal fellow with the group Defending Education. Hi, Sarah. How are you this afternoon? Welcome back.
Well, I am glad to be back with you guys. And yeah, it's interesting because you would think now that the grownups are in the room and the administration's made very clear that men and women are to be separated in scholastic athletic endeavors, that people would be paying attention. And it's very clear also that this administration has no problem pulling federal funding for failure to comply with longstanding civil rights law, specifically here, Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972, but we actually at our organization have instituted the first of its kind Title IX compliance tracker so that parents and grandparents, uncles and aunts can all go search their state and see what the actual policies are in the state. Now, some states are complying fully with presidential directive and federal civil rights law. Some have taken a piecemeal approach. They've gone the route of separating athletics, but then keeping their bathrooms open, which, by the way, you can't violate part of the law without violating all of the law. And I think the administration is going to be very keen to start taking closer looks at a lot of these schools. But we would think at this point, now that we are 8 months, almost 9 months into the administration with this new president, that we would see a return to sanity and common sense. It is shocking to me,
me too,
how intransigent this is going to be.
I'm shocked by it, too. I really am. And then the other thing that really is disappointing to me, and this is nothing new, and you and I have probably talked about it, but whenever a case like that out of suburban Chicago, and maybe even the one that we're going to talk about, you know, comes about, there's virtual crickets and silence in the majority of the media, outside of the conservative media and the sports media. I mean, that's a pretty significant story, I think, and it's a story that people in this country have an interest in, and parents have an interest in, because they know it could help, you know, certainly happen in their school district, but you don't get very many, you know, regular legacy reporters who even want to touch those stories, which is shameful. Now, you guys just filed an amicus brief in something called Foot v. Ludlow. And I want to explain that, Sarah, that case and why this is important as well. And it's something I think that's relatable throughout the country.
Yeah, this is a huge problem in American public schools. These are gender secrecy policies that actually mix parents' involvement completely out of the equation in public school. If a child comes to an administrator or teacher and says, I think I was born in the wrong body, I don't have comfort in my biological sex, maybe I'm transgender. If a teacher or administrator learns that information, these particular policies, which by the way are in 1,300 school districts across the country, and that means 12.5 million public school kids are subject to these express policies, that information will be hidden from his or her custodial parents. But the problem is more aggravated because we've seen this actually go up to the Supreme Court, two cases, one out of the Seventh Circuit and one out of the Fourth Circuit, and the Supreme Court declined to take up parental rights challenges based on the lack of constitutionality of these policies. They said it's an interference with 100-year-old recognized Supreme Court rights to direct our children's own educational upbringing and inculcation of our values. The Supreme Court didn't want to touch it. Maybe it was a hot potato. Maybe it was a standing issue. We know they got to gender identity in the big Scrimeti so-called gender-affirming care case. But Justice Alito wrote a barn burner of a dissent from denial of cert, in which he said, this is an issue of growing national importance that we cannot afford to long ignore. Well, Foote versus Ludlow is yet another one of those cases. This time, it comes out of the First Circuit, and we were the first in with our amicus brief to make sure that we had a stake in the claim, because our parents, too, are terrified that their children are going to be essentially separated from them.
Well, they should be, right? Sarah Parshall Perry is here. She's the vice president, legal fellow with the group Defending Education. So tell the story of Stephen Foote and Marissa Silvestri. This is horrifying. Look, I have a 10-year-old daughter. They learned that their 11-year-old daughter was experiencing depression. She was questioning her gender identity. The parents hire a counselor to help her. They tell the school district they're getting their daughter mental help. But the school district kind of, they go rogue, right?
Completely rogue. In fact, this is not just a passive interference with parental rights. This is an active interference, because they actually knew that the parents were already getting outside mental health counseling and psychiatric interventions for this minor child. They knew it, and they involved themselves anyway. And it was only because they discovered a different name scribbled across the top of one of their assignments, one of their daughter's assignments, did they suddenly realize they're actually running this game behind our back. I mean, you want to talk about the hubris of school administrators and educators thinking that they actually own America's children. It does not get more chilling than this.
Well, yeah, and there's a pattern for this that exists, and we've had some incidents here in St. Louis which have matched up. But in this particular case, you might even have to help me with some of the pronunciations. So what you guys wrote up here is that they disregard the explicit instructions and they decide to socially transition. Again, this is an 11-year-old kid. So they meet with her. They encourage her to, quote, transition to gender queer with a male name and non-binary pronouns. This is where I need the help with pronunciation, because they're like, some of these, honestly, Sarah, I think I've seen all these, but then I haven't. It's like F-A-E. What is that? Faye? Fay-ray?
Faye is a made up pronoun that the gender evangelists like to say is representative of an individual who doesn't necessarily associate with female pronouns, male pronouns. So it's more for the, you know, I'm using giant air quotes here, because we know, Mark, that this is all made up anyway.
Right. Well, that's true.
This is a non-binary set of pronouns. So you want to talk about just mental illness rearing its ugly head in American education. They're actually creating a new lexicon for children to be able to identify as gender divergent. It's unconscionable, but it goes to show you that this is not a passive intervention. It's not sitting back and letting a child kind of develop the way that they want without interfering with parental rights. It is active obfuscation. And what's more is that the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, also known as WPATH, and these are the bad guys, right? They are an absolute political machine. They have actually said in their own literature, social transitioning, in other words, new name, new pronoun, new dress code, new bathroom use, that is the first key to getting these kids medically transitioned. So that just proves to us exactly how nefarious this is. This is not a neutral intervention.
Some of this stuff is nuts. So the mother and the father beg the school district for help, but they won't even do that. And they're basically describing what the parents did as thinly veiled camouflage for intolerance, prejudice, and bigotry against LGBTQ individuals. This kind of matches up a little bit with one of the stories last week. I'm sure you're familiar with it, in Loudoun County. And Sarah, I don't know what it is about Loudoun County with all these stories where you have these boys. And this was sort of a little bit of a reverse situation where there was a biological girl who was in the locker room, who was recording them, should not have been doing that. She was the one that was actually literally breaking the law. But this gets flipped on its head. And then the boys are in trouble and they get hit with accusations of, you know, hate crimes or whatever comes along with this. It's just unbelievable. It's upside down.
No, it's completely upside down. And Northern Virginia was really ground zero for gender experimentation and sort of social transitioning, right? It was one of the first school districts in the country. And remember, the top five Northern Virginia school districts, Loudoun, Arlington, Alexandria, Fairfax, Manassas, these are five of the biggest school districts in the country. So where they go is an indication of exactly where public education on the whole is going to go. Now, thankfully, the Department of Education has decided that they are going to step up to the plate and they are going to hold these five school districts who maintain these policies, not only socially transitioning children, but maintaining gender neutral bathrooms and maintaining gender neutral sports teams. And they're going to take them essentially to the woodshed. You cannot accept federal funding and violate federal civil rights law. The way it works is in the nature of a contract between the federal government and the state education recipients. And every year, SEA, state educational associations, like a Department of Public Instruction or a superintendent of schools, have to file a form certifying their adherence to longstanding federal civil rights laws that are enforced by Department of Ed. They break that certification, they lose federal funding, and this administration's already proven it's willing to do that.
We've had school in session here for a week in St. Louis, and there was, I was trying to locate the picture of this. There was a local school that the first thing that you saw when you walked in was all this gender nonsense, like big posters about binary, non-binary, all this other stuff. I was told here, it says, and I guess this was in there from, you know, last year, a seventh grade halls of Parkway Southwest Middle School, and all the words that greet them, like pride, transgender, bigender, non-binary, almond sexual, that was a new one for me, pansexual, lesbian, omnisexual, gay pride, agender. These are seventh graders. I mean, essentially, not too much older than 11, and that's the priority. Now, I was told that that did come down, but again, the you know, the Alphabet Mafia has total control over some of this stuff in schools, and it seems to be getting younger and younger. Sarah Parshall Perry, always great to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. All right, Sue's News for a Monday coming up after the top of the hour. Every once in a while, I get an inquiry, Sue, if you will, via email. Sometimes these come in the form of letters in the mail. But I had one last week that I kind of wanted to respond to. And it was someone who had left a voicemail a few weeks ago. And I actually called them back. Sometimes these things get forwarded to me from whoever answers
yeah,
them.
Because
I don't really have a voicemail that I check here at work. So when one comes into, I think it's like the general mailbox, they forward it to me. So I didn't know what this person was interested in. And I always try to respond to the listeners. And then she had said she was going to send me an email. And I remembered that I didn't think I had gotten an email. So I reached out and said, hey, just making sure I didn't miss something. But she, this is someone, I won't name her name, but she wrote out, I can use her first name, Sally, says, hey, thank you for responding to my inquiry several weeks ago. As I told you, there were many ideas swirling in my head in response to you providing me your email. But as the day has changed, so does my latest concern about the Trump administration. So she goes, it's best to start in the beginning. I was listening to your broadcast on KMOX on January 6th. Likely it was probably the day after. Maybe it was January 6th, but I had interviewed Josh Hawley in the ensuing aftermath of January 6th. So she says, you were very upset, and I was, and I guess not getting much support from your listeners. I emailed you and I told you that I did not always agree with your political views, but I 100% supported your sadness and disappointment for what was unfolding on January 6th. You emailed me back right away and thanked me for my support, as not that many of your listeners were agreeing with what you were feeling that day. So she says, that day was a line in the sand for me, but I have to inquire why it was not a line in the sand for you. In other words, for me. I have heard you over the years after you've moved from KMOX to supporting Trump. How can that be after January 6th? In closing, I will add, I'm not a crazy liberal that supported Biden or Harris 100%. Okay, 100%. But you still kind of support. I'm a white woman that lives in South County. I'm Catholic, patriotic. I hate the so-called MAGA Christians acting as if they're the only people that are God-fearing and patriotic. What hypocrite, she says, I would love to hear from you on how you evolved with your support for Trump. Our paths definitely split after January 6th. And she said, thanks for your time, Sally. Now, hopefully she is still listening. It was a decent question, right? So I took a couple of days and I did respond to this because it's a question that does come up. And for those people who have been with the show for an amount of time, they will know that I went from, you know, certainly in 2016, not seeing a path that Trump could win. And that was an electoral path. In other words, I didn't think he could win the states that would, you know, vault him into the White House. I thought Hillary would win, you know, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, the so-called blue wall. But then if you go to 2020, I did vote for Trump and I supported Trump because I thought that there were two choices and two paths moving forward, as horrified as I was about January 6th. So I responded to Sally this way. I said, I know a lot of people who say the same thing as you, that January 6th was the line in the sand. I hated it. And I certainly didn't like Josh Hawley's response to me, which is, by the way, why he's never spoken to me since. But, and this is just being, you know, keeping it real here, right? Everyone's got their own reasons, and maybe we all get into a situation sometimes where psychologically we're horrified by something, and then, you know, time passes and
you
start
learn
to
more.
Well, right. And you probably, one thing that I would say too that I didn't include in this response is the way that some of the January 6ers were treated, you know, compared to how ordinary people would be treated, I thought was outrageous. Now, some of them certainly deserve to be punished for their crimes, and I think that they were. But I do think that there was a clear pattern of over-punishment based on, mm-hmm. you know, what happened that day. So I said to Sally, I said, a bigger dividing line for me was the direction of the country. And with apologies, but seeing literally millions of illegals cross the border, crime rampant, Dems identity politics BS. I used a little profanity in here. I have to be careful when I read it back here. The fact that they would have raised taxes on every single person in this country, that's still like one of the best kept secrets of the election. Nobody ever pressed Harris on this or Biden. Hey, you know, if you win, you're going to raise taxes on everyone. They got away with that. And this is important for me. It really is. And that they would be in charge of our country's 250th birthday celebration. The latter part, I said, made me sick to my stomach. It really did. Biden was not only a joke, but he wasn't even awake half the time. That's 4 years of that and 4 years of the media covering it up. For me, Sue, I said, all of this far eclipses any horrors of January 6th. And I can also throw in everything that happened, you know, with George Floyd in the rioting, because that happened in 2020, right?
Right.
In that summer. And there were so many things. And really, for me, it always comes back to the media complicity, which is stunning. And that's what I said to her. I said, the media complicity with all this is stunning. On that front, I can simply focus on the way that COVID was handled by the legacy media. Hall of Fame level journalistic malpractice. And now we have all these kids that are suffering. But I have to shout the all caps like George Gray did the other day. But they even managed to surpass their own low bar in the way that they refused to cover the truth about Biden. So think about that. They mm-hmm. lied about a lot mm-hmm. of different things. You want to go back to, you know, Mike Brown here. You can certainly do that. Certainly what happened with George Floyd. So much dishonesty. Watch the fall of Minneapolis. So many lies about that. And I said to Sally, I said, the legacy media lies so much. I can't deal with that, with someone like Harris or freaking Tim Walz in charge. Not a chance. What a clown show. So I said, I'll take, quote, fascism, I put that in quotes, any day, because that allegation is laughable and dishonest. So I close by saying Trump is still full of, you know, blank on a lot of stuff. He exaggerates. All of that is true. Yesterday alone, though, I think when I wrote this was Friday, he sat for almost 2 hours with the Washington Press Corps and just answered questions. I saw more yesterday than in 4 years of Biden doing something similar. Same thing happened today. I mean, he had three different occasions where he was sitting there, you know, answering questions. And I don't agree with everything he does. I don't like the flag thing today. But again, I do think that there's some nuance to that. So what I said, and, you know, I had Jennings on earlier this hour. I think that he's in the same camp. J.D. Vance is in the same camp. You know, there are people out there that evolved. Now, was it that we bent the knee? Because some people look at it that way. I'm guessing Sally looks at it that I bent the knee on Trump. I'm just being who I am. And a lot of people, I think, accused me of doing things for, you know, my own political reasons. I'm just calling it the way I see it. And there were so many things that happened from, you know, Brett Kavanaugh's hearings to the Covington Catholic kids, all of those things. So I said, I'm comfortable with my evolution for many reasons listed above, and beyond a lot of people who hate him in the past have done the same thing. Too much important blank on the line. I thank you for taking time to write, and I hope that that answered the question and maybe answered the question for other listeners as well. So there you go.
Get more at 971talk.com.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. You can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.